And welcome everybody to Off the Hook Overtime here on YouTube. This is Kyle and Amanda. Excuse me. Can we do that again? Sorry. And welcome everybody to YouTube on Overtime. Damn it! Overtime on YouTube. Where am I? Where am I? This is Emmanuel. That's Kyle.
Hi.
And out there in Signal Land, we have Rob, Gila, and Alex.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Hello.
All right. Hey. Are we on YouTube?
We are on YouTube.
Damn.
I think our volume is slightly low on YouTube.
Yeah.
Compared to how it usually is. But
yeah, what the hell's going on? Is nobody there?
There's not nobody there.
There's close to nobody. Nobody is the next stop after this.
We'll pick up a few. It just magically jumped up a lot. And yes, welcome to the 21 folks we have with us right now.
What's up?
21 people, huh? This is what it's all come down to, is 21 people. All right, fine, no problem, as long as all of those people call. Of course, we don't have the phone lines turned on yet, so don't do that now. And maybe the phone number's different, too.
Yes.
It is possible.
And is it, though?
We're coming to you live through your entertainment system.
Live and unedited.
And I'd like to give people the chance to speak amongst themselves while I set up the telephone.
Okay.
Oh.
Lots to talk about. We can talk about something you're interested in. We'll hand out that phone number, take those calls soon. And yeah, a lot of files, a lot of data analysis going on. And yeah, so take a break from that. Chat with us. We can talk about what we're talking about on the show. I really think that thing of like different devices, there's so many, like it's exponential. The affordability of integrating all these things into stuff you use all the time, you're kind of surrounded by it, whether you like it or not. And some things are designed to be hacked on, and some are not at all, but can be. And it's kind of up to the consumer for us to figure it out. So it's fascinating. That was a really cool conversation.
Totally. Very, very cool project over on GitHub, No Longer Evil-Thermostat under Cody Kosiemba's GitHub. The story we were talking about earlier about that guy, Tommy Robinson, who was cleared of charges for not giving up his phone PIN to the police.
Yeah, did he kill somebody or something? What's he been up to in the week since?
Well, just in general, I think he really embodies the old chestnut of human rights are only important if you're willing to grant them to humans that you think are raging jerks. Reading his own Wikipedia article, just every line of it makes me like him less. The guy is a fascist dipshit here.
I didn't suggest you do that. You know, I basically tried to steer you away from him. The more you read, the more you're going to dislike him. And then you're going to say, you know what, maybe we should do this. And then, you know, before you know it, you're buying into even worse things.
No. But even though he's a fascist dipshit and exactly the sort of person that you could picture Elon Musk wanting to throw some money at, it's still important that he is not put away for this particular thing, for not giving his phone up to the police. I think that particular right to privacy is one which you know is a human right and which people should have, even this jackass
can be right about one thing.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you know, if somebody is up to no good, you can always get them on what they're up to no good about. You don't have to get them by cheating and by saying, oh, I need to have access to all of your info so I can find the things you're doing wrong, because that hurts everybody. And, you know, we see that all the time used against us, you know, i.e. law-abiding, fairly left-of-center people. It's not fair then. It's not fair here. If there is truly something that is, you know, a crime, then do the investigating like police and detectives have always done, and find the crime. But you don't find it by having fishing expeditions.
Yeah, and this guy is in and out of all sorts of prison sentences and legal battles and stuff over crap that he's doing that does deserve, you know, the slaps that he's getting. So, you know, there's plenty to throw at him without invading a right to privacy that we should all have.
Mm-hmm. I also would like to just say something about Google and not necessarily getting stuff. We're on YouTube. We have the live chat. And YouTube will occasionally hold a comment if it seems questionable. And sometimes it's because of swear words. And sometimes, Tim in Connecticut, I do believe we owe you a bit of an apology because Google held your comment for a second. He said, and I quote, "Visions of punching wires into a 66 block."
Wow, which, what kind of violence is that? Punching? That's not the kind of speech that we embrace here. Come on, do better, for God's sake. Those poor wires.
That reminds me of some chores I have to do.
What did Google say?
It said it held it for me to review.
Okay.
As moderator.
As moderator, to make sure that it wasn't overly objectionable.
Well,
however, sorry, what were you going to say, Kyle?
I was just going to say, ease up, YouTube. Like, stop with being so aggressive.
Well, I think Tim is the one being aggressive here. He's punching wires.
Super aggressive.
He started it.
Yeah. What'd the wires do?
But I would also like to note that the response to what Tim said once it got through was our pal Lou Richu, who said, "Jack into the twisted pair," and that didn't get held.
Wow. Well, the level of discourse is as usual high, so I'm looking forward to the phone calls.
I like it.
Which it's still not turned on yet. We have to do some more crimping.
It's filthy. Keep it filthy.
Am I allowed to say that? Yeah. It's it'll be done soon. Yeah. It's to reinvent
it. And actually, as long as we're on the topic, I did want to thank our pal Lou Richu for sending us a new song that we're sampled in, which is pretty awesome. So thank you for that. We do. And if you give me the go ahead, Lou, I can drop the link in the chat so everybody can hear it.
Why don't you drop it in here so that we can hear it? Because we're not on the chat.
Well, we can't broadcast it, but Lou Richu did email it to the show. So if you've got the show's email up on a computer that can that is patched into the board, you can pull it up.
Oh, so you're passing it on to me now. Okay. All right.
Well, you've got the hardware there, and it's only about a minute and a half long, but it's charming.
I think you're just challenging Richu to play it himself somehow. So if we don't do it, we're going to be schooled. So I think that basically...
No, I've got to get it. It's going to involve all kinds of different TCP/IP connections and protocols. I'll do it. You guys continue talking amongst yourselves. And
well, we certainly will.
Yeah, you all can't see Emmanuel like fiercely unplugging and plugging things in like Chief O'Brien on Deep Space Nine. It's fascinating.
I believe that Rob has the power. He's just being modest. Honestly,
I would have to plan for this power in advance, but we have not.
So humble, Rob.
Why do we have two-factor authentication on our own server?
It's fine.
I'm in the same room.
It's fine. Don't worry about that.
Is that like when you're trying to log into something on your cell phone, and then your phone, you have to get a text on the phone that you're using to log in to the site?
Yes.
Like, you know, two-factor authentication is great, but every so often it seems a little beyond.
A little bit.
God damn it. That's a crosswalk. That is definitely a crosswalk. I'm sorry. I am so sick of being told I'm wrong by robots.
I know.
Who are trying to prove I'm not a robot, you know? God damn it. I am not a robot.
If you fail crosswalk, they may give you bus. Bus is easier.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, traffic lights.
I failed crosswalk yesterday, and they gave me bus.
You know what the thing
crosswalk.
Is? It's like if there's part of a crosswalk in one of the frames, I say the crosswalk's in the... But apparently that's wrong. You can only do it for the ones where it's taking up the full frame. You know, same thing with bicycles.
Yeah. And my question about the crosswalks one has always been, are they just talking about like zebra crossings, or do you talk about like a curb cut on the sidewalk that's the way into a crosswalk? Lou Ray Chu says, I was thinking about playing it over the phone, but haven't built an audio interface for landlines yet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's clear. That's going to take.
Sorry. Dude, this is FLAC. Can I even play FLAC?
That's going to take time.
Can we play FLAC on the hardware we have here? VLC, do I have to like install something?
Try VLC or whatever you're using.
You can play FLAC, or you can click the link that Lou Reicher gave us to play it in the web browser off of SoundCloud. The browser
firewalled. We're firewalled to hell and back. But you know what? I'll keep working on it. Keep talking amongst yourselves.
I do love some lossless audio codecs, especially free ones. We could talk what about else? Another email we got to the show, which comes from hr2600.com, which I didn't know we had an HR, but it says, good day, colleague. As already stated, the salary upwards review benefits and allowances will be effective as soon as the month comes to an end. The HR department, does 2600 have an HR department, has already finalized the salary structure and it is to be disbursed. Please revert to attached document to see the details as soon as possible.
Are you actually reading spam? You're reading spam.
Wait, this isn't actually from finance at 2600.com?
Oh, my God.
Regarding the I guess, salary increase you're going to give us volunteers here?
I was going to say, we're getting a raise?
Wow. Okay. I had my hopes all kinds of up, and now I'm just but feeling a bit foolish, actually.
Well, keep your hopes up, Rob. Always just stay optimistic. It really is. It's your best feature.
Yeah, I hope this isn't going to affect my next performance review.
No. Of the many HR, I think we'll be fine. You'll be fine. But that is terrific. What other news is it worth discussing? Alex, did you have anything that you were thinking of? Would you like to continue to elaborate on from the earlier conversation?
Oh, I think we should take phone calls. I think we should.
I'm ready.
I think we should get it started. I mean, I'm tired of hearing myself talk, right? And I want to hear other people talk. Like
Alex, can I remind you that I'm currently doing the second bit of homework here in getting the FLAC file to be transferred over to the servers that are in the studio, so that it can be played and enjoyed by the listening public. So I have not yet gotten to installing the phone line that enables you to hear other people's voices. So please, let's listen to your voice for a while, or another delightful voice in the studio, and I will finish as soon as I'm humanly capable.
A complicated process, you would have never made it as a Boy Scout.
Here's one for you, Alex. It was this is a story from 404 Media. Our pal Jason Kobler posted this today, that a judge rules that Flock surveillance images are public records that can be requested by anyone. Our guest Cody just mentioned Flock cameras right at the end of our radio hour. And Flock cameras, which are license plate scanning cameras, a judge in Washington has just ruled that police images taken by these things are public records, and you can request them as you would any other public record. And the article reads, the decision highlights the sheer volume of the technology-fueled surveillance state in the United States and shows that at least in some cases, police cannot withhold the data collected by its surveillance systems. Judge Elizabeth ruled that the Flock images generated by the Flock cameras located in Stanwood and Cedro Woolley, Washington, are public records under the Washington State Public Records Act. They are not exempt from disclosure, and an agency does not have to possess a record for that record to be subject to the Public Records Act. Did you happen to see this go by, Alex?
I didn't, but that's pretty fascinating. I mean, it's an interesting case because it's obviously there's far-reaching implications here if all of that data can be obtained through a state-based freedom of information law. Most states will have the equivalent of the federal FOIA law, which is the Freedom of Information Act. In New York, we have FOIL, the Freedom of Information Law. But very oftentimes when you try to use it, agencies from which you're asking for data will throw up some kind of exception or some kind of rule that, causes them to not actually have to disclose anything. So for license plate readers like this, I mean, it would be really kind of interesting to make these types of requests for specific license plates about which, you know, I don't know, maybe they relate to celebrities or politicians or something like that. But if they're public records and they can be obtained through these state-based laws, I also see it as like somewhat dangerous too, because it could allow people to track you in a sense. Like if you get a timestamp associated with a particular license plate, it would be very easy to recreate how somebody, you know, how somebody was traveling at any particular period of time. So in as much as I think it's great from a transparency perspective, it could also have privacy implications from a personal standpoint as well.
Go ahead.
So I found something else, a story from yesterday from the Denverite blog, where an officer in the Denver area used Flock to sort of backtrack. He's like, this woman stole a package, went, accused her publicly. She had tracking data from her own car that said she was nowhere near the area at the time and didn't commit this theft that they accused her of. And it's also the AI of it all makes me nervous in the same way, like the Doritos bag situation.
Yeah. The judge in this case in Washington, whose name is Elizabeth Nijewski, I want to say it's Nidzwski. A bit of her decision, conclusions of law. One, the Flock images generated by the Flock cameras located in Stanwood and Cedra Woolley are public records under the Washington State Public Records Act. Two, the Flock camera images generated by the Flock cameras located in the cities of yada yada are not exempt from disclosure under RCW 4256240. The Flock an agency does not have to possess a record for that record to be subject to the Public Records Act. Which is a bit that I find very confusing. And this finishes up. Flock camera images are created and used to further a governmental purpose. The Flock images created by the cameras located in Stanwood and Cedra Woolley were paid for by Stanwood and Cedra Woolley and were generated for the benefit of Stanwood and Cedra Woolley.
What kind of cameras are these?
These are automated license plate reader cameras.
The word you were saying before camera is what?
Flock camera.
What's it?
Flock.
How do you spell that?
Of birds.
Like a flock of birds. F-L-O-C-K. Flock cameras?
Is that a company or is that a type of camera?
That's flock. The company.
Wow. Okay. Not to be confused with FLAC, the audio file that I've been working on.
Correct. But wait, can we add another layer to this? Tim in Connecticut has chimed in the chat to let us know that cities around the country are beginning to shut down their Flock cameras. Shut down or suspended, and found a story from elsewhere in Washington state. Redmond's city council voted unanimously Monday to turn off its automated license plate reader cameras after learning that U.S. Border Patrol improperly accessed Auburn's Flock system last month.
I swear to God, I have never heard the phrase Flock camera before tonight, and yet everybody's talking about it as if it was the main subject that we've always been discussing. Just like no one ever mentioned Home Assistant before this week in our, I think one person wrote into us and said Home Assistant once on Off the Hook. No one's ever mentioned it. And, you know, we don't know enough about it because of that.
And I was pointing out that it's evolved, like the market for all of that stuff has evolved.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that it came up, but it was emergent at the time. And now we're looking
back.
But
not only that, we've been clamoring for something just like that. And it just happens. And we're not talking about that. So, yeah, you know, we definitely need our listeners to help guide us and push us. Yeah. If it wasn't for Cody tonight, I'm sure there's a lot more we wouldn't have known.
Well, we've talked about license plate readers in various forms, but they're not sort of standardized or commonly understood. And now it's mature technology that there are many different probably brands and schemes for setting them up. So here we are referring to it a name brand.
License plate readers. I really want to have an app for license plate readers that, for the interest of privacy, they don't actually record individual license plates. They only record police license plates because they're different. They look different. And that way, you know, what cop is where, when they pass by. And, you know, it's useful information for everybody, including the cops. Sometimes they lose track. And it would be a nice exercise to just kind of weed out all the license plates and just have, you know, because authorities hate it when you do it to them. They love doing it to us, but when you do it to them, they freak out. And I just enjoy making that happen.
That had occurred to me in the previous conversation about this, that basically if that stuff is available as public record, is it not putting emergency vehicles and other emergency services that would be captured by those recordings out there as well, or at least
of course
making them available, and they could be used in the way you're talking about with various tools and things to analyze the information.
I believe the phrase is used often by the Trump administration, in fact, that nobody is above the law. And I think that's commendable for them to say that, because it demonstrates an understanding of our nature of justice, you know, and everybody being equal. And I wish we could all embrace that a bit more. And hopefully we can follow in their footsteps. That's the nicest thing I'm going to say tonight. Yeah.
So thank you to Tim in Connecticut, who suggests that you can Google flock cameras being shut down, stories from all over the country about cities starting with flock and backing out. Evanston, Illinois canceled their contract in August and flock pushed back. Lots to learn. Someone, AABBSB7MM. Don't know if that means anything, but Every Home Depot has
social security number. That's what you read.
So something weird has happened on YouTube in the last few weeks, and instead of having like user names, it has user IDs now. So for example, instead of mine saying my name, it says my Google username, which is pretty similar. But
isn't that the same thing on YouTube? The Google username is the same as the YouTube username?
No. So It used to say my first name and my last name, and now it says at Gila Chava, which is my user ID.
Weird.
So I wonder if AABBS-SB7MM has an easier to read username. But regardless, they said Every Home Depot has a flock camera. But also, isn't Home Depot like basically letting ICE raid their parking lots? So, pretty you much. Know.
But an interesting twist to this, going back to the 404 story, the reason this ruling came up is because a request was made, a public records request by someone called Jose Rodriguez, who back in April requested all of the images taken by the city's flock cameras between the hours of 5 and 6 p.m. on March 30th. He later narrowed this request to only to ask for images taken by a single camera in a half hour period. And his reason for doing this was to see if they would release them in hopes that if they were public records, it would raise awareness to all the communities that use the flock cameras that they may be public record and could be used by stalkers or burglars or other people with bad intentions. So dude was proving a point, and the point has well and truly been proven.
I know in at least this was the case in the UK, you could request camera footage for a particular camera for a particular time to see if you showed up on it and to use that footage in case you wanted to document your trip across London or something like that. It was a really cool policy. I don't know if it still exists, but I'd like to see something like that here if it doesn't exist.
Yeah, there was some activist project which would stage little vignettes in front of security cameras and then request the footage in order to make videos. That's right. Just as a performance piece. And that was really interesting.
Surveillance theater or something like that. Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I've just been doing so much tonight.
You were going to mention that we are really excited for new first-time callers.
We're really excited for new first-time callers.
Yeah, this week.
This week? Okay, yeah. I'm excited.
If you haven't called before, please call. Others are welcome to call as well.
Oh, I haven't set up the phone yet. Okay.
Oh, and you were going to play something.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, I finished that a while ago. I was listening to you guys, and it just was really captivating. I have this FLAC file here. Does someone want to intro it or just describe it or something?
This is a single sent to us by our pal Lou Raichu, and with the subject line Buffalo, 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 which is something we were talking about on a recent episode.
You said it wrong. You said it wrong. No, you did. All right. Well, we can go over that later. But okay. So here it is. Bubble.
be able to win that
Wow, that was Kyle, you can dance to anything. That's really
thank you.
That's really good. Really
what
really
else do you
incredible.
Want? What else do you want?
Wow. Well, thank you.
That was delightful. Thank you, Lou Reicher.
Absolutely was. Yeah, so. And we have put the link in the chat if you want to download it from SoundCloud your own self.
That's right, yes. And we appreciate people sending us music. OTH@2600.com is our email address, so feel free to do that. I'm going to open up the phone lines, if that's okay with everybody. I've waited long enough, and I think it's about time.
Yes, please.
All right. Go for it.
Yeah. You guys are just gabbing up a storm. I didn't want to, you know. All right. It's a phone number, and it's not going to work until I say the last digit. So, you know, if you're dialing now, you're not gaining anything. It's country code 1. The area code is 802. The exchange is 321, and the extension is 4225. And is something funny, Gila? Phone number that you think is wow, that was fast.
The phone number in and of itself is not funny, no. But the way you announced it, Emmanuel, was very entertaining.
That's what phone numbers are. I was simply defining every element of the telephone. The
and
telephone
a great
number.
Thanks,
yeah.
You.
And yeah, be glad there weren't more numbers because there could be. All right, so we have a phone call. We don't. I heard the phone ring.
I think that that phone call had cold feet.
Okay, all right, that's understandable.
It was a shy attempt.
Well, we're not an easy audience, that's for sure. Which is why we tend to be the hosts. But 802-321-4225 is our telephone number, and I guess we'll just wait for a call to come in.
Please, tell us what's on your mind. As I said, new callers, welcome. If you've never called before, we're a radio show that is streaming on a streaming service, and we're going to talk to you. So,
well, hopefully talk to this person.
I'll answer this call now.
Okay. We will say good evening. You are on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Emmanuel.
It's Rebel. Rebel always is the first call because the rest of you all just aren't fast enough, and you need to work on that.
I'm just now getting...
Because he continues talking even when I talk. That's the thing. So he's still gone. But
setting up my computer. I know you were talking about like things like right to repair and like getting around certain things.
You,
like,
you listen. You actually listen to the show? Oh, my goodness. I'm moved. I really am. I really
am. I'd like to mention about, before I talk about what I want to talk about Windows. I could know, like...
You mean you don't want to talk about this? You don't want to talk about what you're talking about right now? Okay.
Well, it relates to what we're talking about.
Okay.
You have, so like, when you buy a PC now, it automatically comes when something that's not a Mac with Windows 11. And I bought a PC. Last year I got a desktop PC from HP. And I had a laptop from Asus, and the Windows 11 works perfectly fine on the laptop. But when I was on the desktop, it wasn't working efficiently. I mean, it was working slowly. It would lag. It would, you know, when it would play audio, it would like have static. So when I switched to Linux and I put Linux Mint on it, got rid of Windows 11, it's working perfectly now.
I hear good things about Linux Mint. I hear that you can also emulate many of the programs that would run on 11 or 10 without too much of a difficulty. So I think you made the right choice.
Right. And also, I'd like to mention that a lot of people are taking old terminals, like old things from, you're talking about taking old technology and making them work and not throwing them out. People taking old stuff and putting them and like making them work. Like if you have an old terminal from the 80s and the late 80s, early 90s, you could just take it and put, if you know what to do and hook it up right, you can, with special cables and, you know, set it up in a certain way, you can make a terminal from the 80s or 90s work if the terminal is actually working.
You can make anything from the 80s or 90s work if you're committed to it.
Yeah, anything from the 80s or 90s.
Well, you can. It's not that dramatic a statement. You can even make civility work. You can. It's tough, but you can. It's currently bricked.
Yeah. Now, what I just also like to mention, I was at the Hackensack bus terminal, but not bus, but bus depot. There are CoCats there, or they used to be Bell Atlantic, New Jersey Bell phones. I noticed that when I dial zero, I just get a general operator, like a local, like I guess long distance. I think it's that new thing that 1-800 call, like a WiMAX operator. But if I dial star zero, I get like a Verizon operator, a local operator. But for some reason, I get these, you know, those KP2 and MS tone, the MS, what is it called? KP and MS2 or something?
Okay.
The loud beeps, the loud green box tones that go deet, doot. You get those for some strange reason.
You're getting blue box tones?
Not blue box tones. It's those, the ones for coin return and coin collect.
Oh, okay. You're talking about for what payphones used to send to return a quarter. I know the tones you're talking about.
The return, where the operator returns a coin, collects a coin. That's tone that gets sent down to that.
On the AX system. I don't know what that specific tone is called, but where are you hearing that?
I'm hearing this in the Hackensack Bus Depot at a CoCat. I guess it's a CoCat. I mean, it's not.
Well, like a CoCat would never need to use those tones because that's not how they work.
Well, that's the thing. I think maybe it's like a regular payphone line or something, and they put a CoCat in it or something. I don't know.
Or it could be they just added it to a recording to make it sound more like a payphone.
I don't know, but when I ask the operator to dial a number, they don't dial. I mean, they play, you know, the 958 from like the 90s, and that says 2793. I asked
them. You're giving out the old BAI phone number. Did you hear that? He was giving out the old BAI phone number. Alex, you did the same thing a few weeks ago. Wow.
It says, I just asked it, can you dial this number? It plays that recording saying the number that I asked to dial. That 890s. Old analog recording. I don't know why.
Wow.
I'm going to record that. I'm going to, when the time I go there, I'm going to actually record it. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to, like, record a video, but, like, just the audio part and kind of play you that.
Yeah, I talked to a long-distance company earlier that doesn't understand long-distance.
Well, AT&T, when I dialed...
I'm telling a story. I was telling a story.
Oh, okay.
So basically, I called a long-distance company because there was a problem with one of our long-distance accounts, and they told me to dial 1-700-555-4141. That's the old number that you would call to find out what your long-distance company was. I don't know if that number still works. I haven't called that number in decades, but they seem to think it works, and when I called it, you know, I got this call can't be completed as dialed. So they're telling people to call numbers that don't work anymore. So I wound up having to speak to about four different representatives just to get to the point of, yeah, it's not working. Please fix it. This is your job.
When I asked them, they said they're AT&T, but they can't do anything. Like, you know, do the verification, or call it call, the person-to-person, or, you know. I said, can I place an overseas call? They said, I just do domestic calls.
Wow. Well, you have to have specialities, you know?
So maybe next week I'll have a recording that, you know, maybe I can play you.
All right. I look forward to that. But thank you for the call this week.
By the way, when during the political season, you get texts from political things like political ads, but they're different phone numbers. Like, you know, you get text, but then you block the number, and then you get another text from another number.
We're going to go around the room. Everyone's going to try to sign off with Rebel, and whoever is successful gets the prize. I tried and I failed just
now. You're cutting in. I can't hear
you. See, that's what he'll say to me. But Kyle, you're next. Try, and you can't just hang up on it. You have the receiver in your hand. I see that look in your face. But try to just, you know, say goodnight and have it go well.
Oh, good night, Rebel. Thanks for your call.
Okay,
and
hey, Kyle,
we'll talk to you soon.
I couldn't hear Emmanuel, but okay, bye.
Yeah.
He has to hang up. He has to hang up.
So a lot of people are
it doesn't count if he doesn't hang up.
Taking old terminals, like old things. You're talking about taking old technology and making them work.
How are we hearing him again?
He's got YouTube on, and that's the delay.
We're that far delayed?
That's a while.
That's a long time. Hang on. He's still there. Kyle, I think you might have failed.
I don't know why you're delayed, but...
Yeah, you see, he's still there. Okay, so Rob, now it's your turn.
Rebel, it's been good speaking with you, but we're going to move on. Have a good night.
Okay. Okay. See you next week.
He's still there. Oh, he hung up. Rob, you win. Wow.
Hell yeah.
You're the champion. You're the overtime bouncer.
That was a good conversation.
that's your role now.
Okay, so phone lines open. Next call.
802-321-4225.
You can comment about something we just spoke about. You can elaborate on that or on something we talked about earlier on the radio or earlier some of the stories that we brought up, right to repair stuff, anything, everything, stuff you have hacked that you would like to hack that got hacked, and or your story. Maybe you have an interesting pathway to the world of telecommunications or computers or technology in some way and you want to share what that journey's been like. You could call us, you could share here, and we'll listen and ask you questions.
And while you're at it, you might want to go support WBAI, our radio home, and keep it going. Go to buddy.wbai.org to figure out how you can do that. Any amount you want to give, if you want to give a one-time donation or a recurring donation, which means a great deal to us, buddy.wbai.org. Be part of what keeps us being able to do this whole thing at all. Because I speak for everyone when I say if we didn't have the WBAI show, we definitely wouldn't be doing the YouTube show. You can't have an after show if there's no show to after.
That's very true.
That is true.
Yeah, this is a really cool way to interact, so I won't slow that up. One more ring, and we'll answer this call.
And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, gang. Tim in Connecticut. How you doing?
Tim, I hope you've calmed down a bit with the violent rhetoric of what you were saying before.
Well, you said connecting the phone.
Uh-huh.
I just brought the images of... You know, punching it down into a 66 block to get it going.
You know, you don't have to repeat the ugly language, but it's, you know, I'm
well,
sorry.
If you were using a connecting tool.
I'm enabling. I know that, tool. And I will do better myself. So what's new up there in Connecticut?
Oh, nothing much. Just a little colder. That's all.
Yeah,
we
cold.
Didn't get any snow.
Cold is good. We had a snow flurry yesterday. I've never been scared of a snow flurry before, but this was a mean one, and it bodes well for the winter.
It was like a mini squall.
Yeah, but you know where you live, you know, so
yeah, you're
gonna
geared
happen
up.
No matter what. The
I
only
think
question is when.
Everybody's kind of geared up for it.
Well, it didn't happen the last couple of years. That's for sure. Not much, anyway. But I hear tonight you might be able to see the Northern Lights, I hear. So keep your eyes open.
Right, yeah. I did want to make a mention about thermostats, since I had a programmable Honeywell thermostat that would lose its configuration or it would suck batteries dry. It'd just go crazy. And eventually I just pulled it down off the wall and put on one of the old Mercury Turnit to make it get hot.
Uh-huh.
And I've been just happy with that thing.
Yeah, but, you know, if you find yourself away from home and you say, hey, you know what, I don't want to be heating my house when I'm not there, you'd have to come home to do that. Whereas,
well, I turn it down before I leave.
Yeah, but if you forget to do that, you know.
And my punishment is that I forgot.
And that you have to pay a huge amount, and that you're burning fossil fuels, and a lot of, you know, we all wind up paying the price.
That's a good way to burn it in your memory. You know, a speeding ticket will tell you to take your foot off the accelerator.
Uh-huh. That's true, too. But, you know...
But if they shut down all the cameras, because they're just starting speed cameras up here in Connecticut...
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if my detecting device in my vehicle will see those yet.
Well, Waze usually tells you where they are.
Yeah, I haven't had a problem, haven't needed to have a problem. I need to just sort of drive through that town at the speed limit and see what happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I got to say that having a lot more cameras on the roadways has really led, I think, to a certain... rebelling with the way people destroy their license plates. I don't know if you've noticed that yet, but
that's not just camera. That's tolls as well.
Yeah, and in general,
absolutely on tolls. Yeah.
I didn't notice that as much years ago, and it's the norm now. It's not like there's a couple people doing it. There's a lot of people doing it. Just basically. Removing the reflective surfaces from the plate, grinding off the paint, damaging it, putting things over it to obscure parts of the lettering, or changing the coloring of like the text that's on it.
There was a guy in New York investigating that. He found that a lot of cops were doing that.
Yeah, in the city too. Yeah, in like parking and other situations. Mm-hmm. Totally. But it's like, you know, the more you're recording and capturing that information, the more people are going to try to take steps to make that a little bit harder, because they're aware that recording and that kind of stuff's taking place. And there's also the sort of stoplight cameras. They've noticed there's effects to that. And, you know, just having them to solve one thing might lead to unforeseen consequences. So here we are with less legible license plates that might need to be noted in other circumstances, and people basically feeling an environment of permissiveness around destroying the legibility of them because their privacy's so invaded otherwise with all this sort of surveillance. So I don't know.
What happens if that becomes a pulloverable offense, having a license plate that's not readable? You know, okay, so the cop's going to pull you over, won't be able to read your license plate, but he will be able to read your license if you have one. And
right.
There's all kinds of ramifications for that. So I think, you know, the more it's enforced. If
police cannot read your license plate, they can pull you over.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, if you're doing this, you know, to get out of any kind of responsibility, well, that's not responsible behavior by its own definition. So, yeah, I would expect them to
do that. But if I have a 3 in my license plate and I make that into an 8 to avoid tolls and things like that.
Or if you just get a license plate that's like I-11-II, you know, it's impossible for them to tell. They would need a license plate reader to differentiate O's from zeros and things like that.
That's an idea.
Yeah. I just realized, I remember my first license plate number. It was 429GXO. Why do I remember that? Why do I remember that? It was a long time ago. And yeah, if anyone could find me based on that.
When I first moved into Connecticut, we had tolls on the Merritt Parkway and things like that, and you had to have a front toll plate as well as your rear automobile plate. And every year they would change colors, and people would just paint the plate the current color.
Wait, every year you get a different license plate?
No. It was a toll plate for the parkway.
What's a toll plate?
It was a plate that you could buy from the state that would allow you to, before they had electronic tolls.
Where would you put...
Instead of going through the booth, they saw the color of your plate, that was your toll plate, you would go by, you didn't have to throw coins in a basket or anything like that.
Weird. Okay. And where would this plate be located in your car?
On the front of your car.
On the dashboard or by the license plate?
Wherever the person in the booth could see it.
Oh, interesting. But you still had to pay the toll on top of that, right?
Well, you, theoretically, you would pay a discounted price to get the plate from the state, and what they found out was people, the next year, instead of getting another plate, they would just paint it the color of the plate that was issued that year.
Weird.
One day it would, 1 year it would be brown, next it might be blue, it might be red, et cetera.
But isn't that an extra toll on top of the toll that you're paying?
That would be a special
lane. The whole idea of buying the toll plate is you paid your tolls for that year.
Oh, I see. Well, how do they know how many you paid for the upcoming year, or did it bill you at the end of the year?
It was one price for the plate.
So you could go through as many times as you want?
In November, it was the same price as if you bought it in January.
Yeah, does that mean you can go through the toll as many times as you wanted through the year?
That's correct, yes.
So what did it cost?
Oh, geez, I don't even know. I just knew where they were, so I didn't go through them.
Wow. Wish I had known about that system.
All right. Well, that's my input for right now. Let's get some new people on the line, and I'll abandon this call.
Okay.
You won't have to pass me around. No offense.
No, we wouldn't think of it. Have a good
have
night.
A good one,
good hearing from you. Take care.
Hey.
Wow. 802-321-4225, only on for a few more minutes. So if you want to give us a call, please do so. Again, we're not on next week because we are doing a call-in show on BAI, and we only do the 1 hour when we do that.
The toll plate stuff reminds me of the, I remember my family used to have a sticker to park at like beaches and parks and stuff that that you needed. And there would be a different color sticker every year.
Yeah, that's a parking sticker. I understand that. It's just a toll going through, you know, on a road, having something you could use for the entire year and not pay anything else.
So like, I guess you would buy this if you were going to use it enough times to make it worth it. Like the unlimited MetroCard used to be.
Wow. All right, well, that's something. I think we have another call coming in. 802-321-4225 in case this one goes south. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
I was listening to the gentleman from Connecticut.
Tim from Connecticut, and, yes.
Yeah, what he was talking about reminded me of something that I heard about last week, that in Connecticut they have something they call a car tax. Have you heard about this stuff?
A car
tax? Like the tax you pay.
No. Right. How does it work?
So you pay this tax like every month or every year in addition to everything else. Like we don't have that in New York, but it's some type of a flat rate you pay for your tax or your car every year. In addition to registration and all of that, you pay a car tax. And then what that does is they don't have as many tolls in Connecticut like the way they do in New Jersey and New York.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of like covers for that. All those tolls they don't have. They don't collect a lot of tolls, a lot of money from tolls and stuff like that. It's
but
I just thought it was weird.
If I drive into Connecticut, you know, from New York, I don't pay that tax and I don't pay the tolls because they don't exist.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Thank you, Tim, for paying for that because apparently we don't have to do that. I've never heard of it. I didn't know about this.
It's just weird.
How do they bill you? Is it through the Department of Motor Vehicles? Is it through the
Department of Motor Vehicle? Like the same way you got to pay your, you know, like in New York, you have to renew your registration. Over there, you have to renew your registration, but you also got to pay this cost tax every year.
You do it at the same time you do your registration, or do they bill you every month?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
At the same time, yeah. Right. You got to pay the same.
Well, you could sort of fool yourself into saying, well, it's part of the registration.
Yeah. It's just weird.
It is weird.
I just thought it was just kind of a strange way to operate.
You know what's weird? There are so many states that don't require inspection, and there are states like New York that really do. And I don't understand how that even is compatible these days. But
a lot of those states that don't require inspection, though, they're like rural states. They're not states like with a lot of congestion.
Not all of them.
You know what I mean?
Not all of them. Anybody have something to say here? Go ahead, Kyle.
I just wanted to elaborate on what the caller was pointing out, that and just basically wonder aloud if that scheme actually works, you know, if there's less tolls and this flat rate, like, does that actually serve their roadways, or is there a downside to it? I don't know. We'll have to maybe talk to some more people from Connecticut to see if
maybe I prefer that. In New Jersey, I mean, I'm in New Jersey and there's a toll everywhere. There's like 100 tolls. You drive 10 feet, there's a toll.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they're little. They're tiny tolls. They're like, you know, 75 cents or something. And yeah, they have a lot of them on like the Garden State Parkway or whatever.
On the exactly the turnpike. There's a ton of them.
Yeah, it slows people down, so they have to slow down for that. I imagine it takes Easy Pass too, though.
They do. They do take Easy Pass also. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I was going to ask you guys, though, what do you think about this, the Epstein files? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Happened today? Yeah, what I'm curious about, maybe somebody can answer this for me, is the Democrats had all this stuff, and they waited till now to release it. Why didn't they release it in the middle of the shutdown?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I'm glad they released it, but what the hell are they waiting for? Come on. If you have this, release it the day you get it. But at the very least, release it when, you know, you are making a line in the sand as far as standing up for what you believe in. That's a great way to show it.
Yeah. And if Trump is really in those files, why didn't Biden release it himself when they were running for election? If there was something there,
how long they had these files for? I don't know who got them first. I'd like to know more.
You know, but anyway, that's just my thoughts. I enjoyed the show today. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Take care. Alex, it sounded like you had something to say. It looked like you had something to say.
I had a question. I've been at a conference all day, so I didn't see any news about the Epstein files that came out. So can somebody explain to me what happened?
Oh, God.
And maybe to others who aren't as...
You're familiar with the phrase smoking gun?
Yeah, there's like... there was a dump of emails. That's the short answer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I got to hang up the phone.
Yeah, it was you know, a release. Yeah, I guess a dump is a good word for it as well. But basically, it showed Trump was complicit and that he clearly knew about what was going on. He spent time with one of the victims of child trafficking, hours, and was talked about by Epstein himself and others. I mean, you know, of course, Republicans are going to try and spin this into something not guilty in any way or not, innocent somehow. And you just have to realize they will do that for anything these days. It doesn't matter anymore. But clearly, as human beings, if we look at this, we'll see that's not right. It's just not right. I think we would say that about anybody, regardless of their political affiliations. You know, I think that's where we draw the line. And we say, you know, you're a terrible human being. I know, because we've said that about many people on the other side of the aisle. I don't know, Kyle, do you know more about it than I do? Because I only learned a little bit, no?
Well, I've just observed a little bit in the last couple of hours, and it seems like it is something, I don't know what strategy there might be, or I don't want to speculate on that, really, but it's what happened as far as information being put out, and... whether why or what the timing of it is, I can only wonder. I'm right there with anybody else that has a pretty good imagination about it. But there are, it looks like, a lot of people going through them now, as we would expect. Mm-hmm. And this, as something that the Democrats are putting forth or that was leaked, is of bipartisan interest. So to whatever end, I mean, we'll see how it's spun or what people make of it and what kind of truth is in it. And there's just a huge court of public opinion that is going to be using tools, using searching and trying to corroborate and correlate this stuff with other information about the time period and what was going on and some of the victims at play and involved here and what might be missing, you know, what else there might be that has not yet been released. So I guess we're going with this now as far as just trying to explain and get the narrative right about who these people are that are running the country now.
Yeah, Alex, I suggest if you want to see some analysis about this or learn more about this, that you tune into a channel called MS Now, because I think they have a pretty in-depth coverage.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm reading about it now.
Do you get MS Now?
No,
oh.
I don't.
Oh, you should. You should. You definitely should.
Is it MSN? Is it like...
MS Now. MS Now. MSNOW.
MSNOW.
Yeah, I can't believe
it's some kind of trick or something that I'm going to be.
Yeah, what kind of trick do you think I'm playing? It's the name of the network.
I don't know.
For God's sake.
It feels like it, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't trust you over there.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you should know that by
now. On this, the day after Remembrance Day.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. What I'm trying to research here is where, or rather from where, these emails came.
They came from Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, but how do they get them?
How did they get any of them?
Yeah, so that's. But I'm reading here. Apparently, they were subpoenas. Part of they were subpoenas attendant to the formal investigation that were served on the Epstein estate.
Yeah, and so some of it contradicts the recorded testimony that was made up from Ghislaine Maxwell.
Only the part
people.
Where they're speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you saying?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
Well, something else really weird happened today, too, because the Republicans released a bunch of Epstein files as well in response. I think these are the good Epstein files, the ones that don't make Trump look bad. And I guess everything that doesn't mention him makes him not look bad. But the stuff that does mention him, that's what the Democrats release. So, this is going to be going on for a while. And
this seems ridiculous. I don't understand why what the timing significance of today is. These were emails obviously sent before Epstein passed away in some way. But it also explains why now. I was in an elevator earlier today at this conference and some woman entered the elevator, and she was like talking really loudly about the Epstein, about how she didn't believe that Epstein killed himself and all this. And I'm wondering, like, where did this come from? Now I understand why, that she was privy to the news that I was not privy to.
You could have just asked her. Of course, you probably would have missed the show, but
I just thought she was like one of these people obsessed with Epstein and, you know, talking into an elevator loudly about it. But now it's all starting to make sense.
We're all being forced to be obsessed with Epstein right now, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah. But how does this then square with, like, you know, what was it? Pam Bondi saying there were no Epstein files when all of a sudden both sides.
Oh, I know this one. Pam Bondi is a fucking liar. How about that?
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. That's your opinion, of course, right?
Well, it's provable with all kinds of facts. So, set me up. I'll be happy to do it.
Our phone line is open.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, we have only a couple of minutes left. So our phone line is open for those couple of minutes, 802-321-4225. And then it's going to close up tight like a clam again for the next week.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't think of anything else, Kyle. What else am I supposed to close it up as? The hood of a car? What?
Get in there. Give us a call, 802-321-4225. Or toll free, 833-755-2600, I believe still works. Thanks to our pal Lucky 225, who was mentioned earlier by our guest.
He
Cody.
Was name dropped on the show. Whoa, it's a small world. It really is.
What's kind of interesting to me, though, about these emails, having researched it a tiny little bit now, it seems like the documents come from between 2011 and 2019. 2011 is going back pretty far. So it's interesting that the estate still had access to these emails. And I'm wondering, like, you know, in what account it was. Was it a Gmail account? Like,
there are email addresses given out, and one is a Gmail account.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Yeah. And there, I guess that's another avenue that these investigations should consider with respect to whom to subpoena or which entities to subpoena.
Well, it was very clear that Epstein had something on Trump, and he was talking about, you know, him remaining quiet.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah, something about the dog that won't bark or something.
It was a weird phrase. Like, Trump is the dog that won't bark.
Hmm. It was a Hound of the Baskervilles reference, I
think. It was, yes. Except I don't know the reference exactly what it means. And then it said something about police chief after that. I don't know what that was all about. It was really, really weird.
Well, it's alleged that Epstein used blackmail routinely. So maybe that's the angle that they're...
Well, he had a lot to blackmail people about. So
implemented as part of his business practice.
Uh-huh. yeah, you have to fund it somehow. And with him, blackmail is the way he did it. So, yeah, it's disgusting. But that's where we are right now.
Well, what would be interesting to me, though, is, okay, so on one hand, you can subpoena the estate and obtain these materials from the estate. But if the estate got them not from, like, a local copy of the messages that were on a hard drive, they got them from, let's say, Google, and just accessed a Gmail account and then downloaded the messages, then that would mean that Google would still have access to these messages as well. So in order to ensure that they weren't abridged and that they're accurate and complete, I would suggest that the committee then send another subpoena over to Google for the entire contents of that particular mailbox and then compare that with the release. And that would be a way to really determine whether or not anything has been misleadingly released or was abridged in any way. And then separately, if the estate still has access to these particular accounts, I would also think that the estate would also have access to certain devices, machines, computers, et cetera. And the committees investigating Epstein-related issues should also send subpoenas to the estate for those particular devices, which could then be forensically imaged, and then the data could be released as well. So if the estate is cooperating with subpoenas, that's interesting and opens up, I think, what could be a treasure trove of really important and interesting and perhaps really trenchant communications.
Well, you know, I'm almost certain that they would have thought to subpoena Google. I mean, you know, Gmail is right there. Any lawyer worth their salt would certainly think, yeah, let's subpoena Google. I am curious, though, about the Epstein estate. You know, it's been how many years? Why would they still have old devices with you know, data on it? Why would they be interested in cooperating in the first place?
Well, I'll tell you why they probably still have them, because if they get rid of them and they know that they might be subject to legal process, then that could be considered perhaps contempt of Congress. If there's a formal investigation and they start destroying documents and records, that would be very bad.
Well, what if somebody who doesn't know destroys it?
If somebody doesn't know, then that would be okay.
So yeah. All they have to do is get somebody working for them that doesn't know anything and ask them to clean up.
Well, you can't do something through a third person that you shouldn't be able to do through yourself, right? So if you ask them to do that and you have knowledge that you shouldn't be asking them to do that, then you'd still be liable.
No, you don't ask them to break the law. You ask them to clean up. And you say, oh, my God, what did you do? That's not what I meant. And then you have culpable deniability. I've been down this road so many times. You know, yes, culpable deniability, you know, and you say, oh, my God, that wasn't the intention, but it's your fault, not mine. And you walk.
Yeah, but maybe these, you know, devices or something like that, maybe they're being held in a lawyer's office or in some kind of escrow or something like that, because if they're highly relevant to some kind of investigation, they should be sequestered and squared away.
Absolutely. You know, I just hope it all comes out. But honestly, for our people, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. This guy could have burned down an orphanage on Christmas Eve. They will find a positive spin to it.
I know.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
It's sickening. And the Democrats go the other direction, where they throw themselves under the bus before the bus is even scheduled to arrive. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, they had this this lockdown one, and they gave up. They gave up while they were winning. So I don't know what to say about them. I wish there were somebody else that knew how to fight. You know, maybe a young charismatic leader of a city, but I don't know. I'm just fantasizing.
All right, don't get me started.
I'm sorry.
Don't get me started. I'm not taking the bait at 9:04 p.m. over here. All right.
But let me just ask you this. This is a question I asked on the show last night. If there were 8 Mondanis in the Senate, do you think they would have caved? I think you know the answer.
What do you mean? Cave to what?
Cave to what the Democrats caved a couple of days ago, you know?
I see what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, that's a crazy hypothetical.
I think you do know. I think you know he wouldn't have, you might not have agreed with everything he did, but he wouldn't have caved.
I don't know. I really have no idea. I mean, but also we have nothing to go on because there's no background, no experience, no record. So,
well, you're about to get a whole lot of experience, and that you can condemn that. You can condemn the experience once it happens. But I don't think you can condemn the experience that doesn't yet happen.
But you're like making up Mondani fan fiction here.
Well, you're making up Mondani horror shows.
I'm basically saying there's no record on which to
Back, get some popcorn, and watch the show and see what happens.
That was my whole issue. And, you know, I thought about our argument about this last week. And I think it just really boils down to the fact that we have different criteria for political candidates, you and I, and that, you know, you're willing to go and kind of, I think, wager on somebody because of their political ideologies, whereas I, who, you know, have kids in school and, you know, need garbage and things to be picked up and I want my city to be run efficiently, I can't afford to do that. I want somebody who's a really efficient administrator that has a record of achievement and competence. They're just different criteria. And so I think the arguments that we made to each other last night or last week are like two ships passing in the night. But that's basically what I think it boils down to. We have different criteria for political office.
Are you open to being surprised?
Of course I am, and I hope I'm pleasantly surprised.
I'm used to being surprised.
I live in the city. I ride the subway, you know, thankfully not every day because it's a damn
disaster. I don't think you're alone in your concerns, Alex.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah. But yeah. Alex, you know, this is a guy who ran on the city not being affordable. So either he's going to just toss all that out the window or he's going to be completely unable to handle that. But I just see a passion in him I haven't seen in other candidates. I've seen slickness. I'm a little tired of slickness. It got us Adams and Cuomo. It worked for a while in New York State, but then it stopped working when his personality started to drown him and everybody else. So I'm willing to give the new guy a try. But Gila, go ahead.
So I'm willing to give the new guy a try, but I do kind of want to see what he does. So a reminder to everyone that he's not going to be mayor for another month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just, you know, hold off for a second. I did want to share something that was popped into the chat.
Can I just say one thing before yep. What he did yesterday? Did you see what he did yesterday? He skipped the Veterans Day parade to go and feed veterans in a home. What do you think about that? He skipped the political thing and went and did the human thing.
I think that's lovely.
Great.
You know, Adams was at the parade. I'm just saying.
Of course he was. The thing I wanted to share, though, was something that was shared in the chat 20 minutes ago now from at XX-0J4CO. We need to get the names back. Report from Seattle 2600 meeting.
Uh-oh.
It was really good.
Oh, okay.
There were like six or seven people there. We talked about self-hosting
Don't. You just walked into it.
It said six or seven.
Don't do it again. Six, oh, seven. My God. No, that counts.
It does not count. Nobody would. It does. The or is the
You
key.
Don't get the
anyway,
newsletter. You don't know.
We talked about self-hosting things like Jellyfin and Link Warden, lamented Meetup charging $40 a month now, RIP.
Kyle, stop it. I'm six, sorry. Seven. He's still doing the 6-7 thing. Oh, my God. Now I got to do it again. They what now? 40 who?
Apparently, Meetup is now charging $40 a month.
For what?
I don't know.
What
I'm
do they
just
do?
Reading.
All they do is list meetings. You know, they listed our meetings, and they listed them wrong, and we had to correct them, and they're charging people for... Okay, you know what? I won't get into this, but you should...
Organizer subscription prices.
Yeah, but what are you subscribing? I'm not going to get into this.
It's this is a whole topic conversation. Their business model, I think, is a little bit more fluid than it has been. So, yeah, there are costs. So what is the tie-in to that, Gila? I'm a little bit lost.
Something about the Seattle meetings charge and...
It was about the Seattle meetings, and that was one of the things that came up last week was because Meetup is now charging significantly more on a monthly basis, they're probably not sharing in the Meetup anymore.
But why do they need that? They have the listing that the magazine provides. It's on the line. Mm-hmm. It's reachable to the same number of people for free.
This is something to complement that. But yeah, alternatives to that. That sounds like a mm-hmm. great thing to be talking to people about what works for them, what they would like to see. I've seen a number of different groups move from different service providers. There are spaces and places that have used the same software.
I know what they're doing. They're charging to list in their listing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. It's to get eyeballs, right? So
you don't need
if
that.
If you want to augment what's already in our publication or on the site, these are services you can use. So, but you have to be very sober about what the service is actually going to cost, because it might be more trouble than it's worth if you can find a good alternative.
Well, it probably didn't cost anything to start with. That's how they get people.
Yeah.
Exactly. First taste is free.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so they're kind of following that path. Go ahead.
Yes. No, that's what I'm saying. So the commenter in question said, we are paying $40 a month. We don't use it. We used to get a lot of people coming from Meetup.
Okay. Well, so you can reach the hacker community in many ways, and you don't need a commercial service to do it.
Yeah. And if you find an alternative that does not cost that kind of money that maybe we haven't mentioned or haven't thought of, or it's something that everybody knows about already, like email or whatever, but you found a cool way to use it instead of that and it yields some results, please tell us so we can share with other places that have meetings.
A great way to get people is to get a news story written about your meeting. You know, do totally. Something cool and get the media to show up. You know, you're not supposed to be hiding from the media anyway. So, you know, celebrate the meeting and tell people what you're doing and make it sound really cool. Like the thing we talked about tonight with the Nest thermometers, that kind of project, that's the kind of thing that people are interested in. And it'll inspire more people to participate.
I would say show up in general. Please show up for yourself, for your family, for your friends, for your community and people helping you with projects.
Do it for your country.
Do it, yeah, for all of that.
Yeah.
And do it more. For the lulls.
Yeah, or just for fun. Totally. But show up, participate, shake it up, change it up.
Speaking of participation, I think we might be at the end of this evening's proceedings.
Are we still on?
Or thereabout.
I thought we signed off 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, was there any other stuff, any other questions or things?
Well, I hit the button, but I just didn't hit it hard enough.
It's OTH at 2600.com.
That's the one.
Yes. This is overtime, and I got to say, overtime's over.
Yes, no more overtime. We're done for this week, and we won't be on next week. We'll be doing the show next week. And we will be taking phone calls on WBAI. And Alex, I believe you're going to be somewhere exotic next week yet again.
Yes, that's correct.
You don't have to tell us.
Yeah, no, I will be hopefully in Buenos Aires next week.
That's in Argentina, for those who don't know.
It's in Argentina, so it'll be a different season, but it'll be the same time.
So it's the same time zone down there.
It is.
But it's spring.
Exactly.
Okay, you're going to have to look for things, you know, look up at the sky, see if the stars are different. You should see the Southern Cross and other constellations you can't see up here. They don't really get snow in the winter anyway, so I'm not sure how much of a difference it'll make, but it'll be
not
cool.
Over there, yeah. But yeah, it's a cool city. It'll be fun to do the show from Buenos Aires.
You have to have steak when you're in Buenos Aires.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, I think a lot of this.
With steak. white tablecloths, they're very big on that.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of steak and Malbec and, you know, the food is very good down there. I haven't been to Buenos Aires in 15 years, so this will be fun.
Cool. All right, folks, with that, we're going to leave it, and we will see you next time. Good night.